time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines. From locals to the pros. With interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. It is the Monday edition of Overtime. Appreciate you being with us as always and tuning us in right here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. We already bagged on this day in sports history. We checked in on the NBA postseason, also previewed the NFL draft from the Atlanta Falcon and Tennessee Titan persuasion in hour number one. Sets us up nicely for hour number two. We'll be talking with Augustana football head coach Jerry Olszewski here in about 15 minutes, recapping Saturday's spring game, the state of the program, who's back, who's new, and what the Viking program has to prove this upcoming fall. We'll also talk about Viking grads and departees that are having an opportunity to join the pro ranks, either in the NFL draft, undrafted free agency, or in another pro football league in the next coming weeks and months here coming up. A lot of opportunities out there. We'll see how many Augustana Vikings earn a pro shot. We'll get the previews there with Augustana football head coach Jerry Olszewski. Squeeze in the good, the bad, the ugly in between Coach OJ and one of our favorites as well, NFL draft analyst for Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, Thor Nystrom, swings by the program around 12:40 to recap the NFL draft process so far. Talk about his 500-player big board that he assembled for Fantasy Pros, and also talk about those Minnesota Vikings, who they trade up for. He's a big J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings fan, been driving that bus for a while, for months, if you will. We'll see if his opinion has changed at all, if his preference has changed at all. Thor Nystrom coming up to round out today's program. Let's dive into your scorecard. What the heck happened over the weekend, and specifically yesterday in the sports world, NHL hockey, Panthers over the Lightning 3-2 in game one from Florida, Rangers over the Caps 4-1, Rangers take a 1-0 series lead, and a very high-scoring contest between the Winnipeg Jets and the Colorado Avalanche north of the border, and the Jets do a great job defending their home ice.
Grabbed by Shankly, backhanded back in behind the net from Lardy on his foot for Connor's shot. He scores!
Kyle Connor with his second of the night.
7-6, a very high-scoring affair. Winnipeg hangs on to the win over the Avs and takes a 1-0 series lead there. Elsewhere, Vancouver over Nashville from Vancouver yesterday, 4-2 the final there. Tonight in the NHL, we got two Game 2s and two Game 1s on the slate tonight. Maple Leafs at Bruins, 6 o'clock on ESPN. Islanders and Hurricanes from Raleigh, 6:30 on ESPN2. Those are Game 2s, where Boston has a 1-0 lead. Carolina, same deal there against the Islanders. Pair of Game 1s later on tonight, 8:30 on ESPN. Golden Knights at Dallas and Kings at Oilers. Game 1, 9 o'clock on ESPN2. Rewind back to Saturday. You don't want to not relive what we saw from the Timberwolves. Pretty impressive stuff. Anthony Edwards, as we thought, put on a show.
Rudy trying to steal off Durant inside. They couldn't get it to him. Deep three on the way. Strokes it. Nothing but net from 5 feet beyond the arc. Edwards with 31. Give it back to Durant against Gobert up top. Rudy poked it free. Durant's got it. Then he strips him. In on a breakaway and a two-handed slam. Edwards, 33 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists.
Big win for Minnesota in game one, 120-95. Timberwolves lead the series 1-0. All that audio courtesy of K-Fan. Yesterday in the NBA, Boston over Miami, 114-94. Clippers over the Mavs, 109-97. James Harden coming up big.
Harden deep on left side. Steps in with three. Bullseye! James Harden with a big-time shot out of the break. And the Clippers bump the lead up to 17. 105-88.
109-97 the final. Harden finishes with 28 points. Other finals, Milwaukee over Indiana, 109-94. Giannis is out. Damian Lillard is in. And he had a big game.
Lillard. Lillard's defended by Nembhard, who's crowded him outside, gets the contact, fires away, and hits the three-pointer anyway.
And again, Damian Lillard, big time performance, 35 points in the absence of Giannis. We'll get you the latest on his status for the remainder of that series and beyond in the postseason later on the show. Doc Rivers, though, says we can't simply just rely on Dame.
Whenever you have a great player and he does that, it allows everybody to kind of get into their game. But you can't expect that every night. Dame does, you know, but we can't expect that. We have to do more. And we play great, more in the first half. But honestly, there's a lot of things that I think we can do better, and we're going to have to do better if we want to win game two.
109-94, the final there. Milwaukee wins game one. Last night, the final pretty darn close and low scoring between OKC and New Orleans. The Thunder get the home win, 28 points for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 94-92. Tonight in the NBA, we've got game two between the Magic and Cavs from Cleveland, 6 o'clock on NBA TV. Also game two, Sixers at Knicks, 6:30 on TNT. Lakers at Nuggets, game two from Denver, 9 o'clock on TNT. NFL draft talk, all sorts of buzz. We just heard moments ago, according to the Pat McAfee Show, Adam Schefter says that the Vikings very likely to trade up. And the other team that he mentioned, the New York Giants. But today's question in regards for Dan Graziano is about Jaden Daniels. He was presumed to be the second overall pick and was rumored up in that first, second, third, fourth spot for a long, long time. One of the presumptive prohibitive favorites to go in that top four of the NFL draft. He was linked to Washington for a time. And then last week, a little bit weird when his agent had retweeted and put a little bit of an emoji and some kind of speculation around an awkward visit with multiple quarterbacks, kind of an interview style with a bunch of candidates coming to town at the same time. Jaden Daniels and his camp reportedly not too enthused about that, but Dan Graziano talking about, is Jaden Daniels posturing and trying to land in his preferred destination?
I do not believe that that is the case. I think he'll go, if Washington selects him at two, I think he'll be happy to be number two and go there. I do think there's a relationship between Jaden Daniels and Antonio Pierce, the head coach of the Raiders. Antonio Pierce was on the Arizona State coaching staff under Herm Edwards when Jaden Daniels started his college career there, and they like each other a lot. I think they would both love for that to work out, but I also think they're both realistic. The Raiders don't have the ability to get up high enough to take him, most likely. If the Commanders were to take somebody else at two, I believe the Patriots would get a call from the Raiders. The question is, could they offer enough?
All sorts of drama ahead Thursday through Saturday. NFL draft from Detroit. NASCAR race over the weekend. Tyler Reddick was your winner at Talladega, followed by Brad Keselowski and Noah Gragson, 1-3. Next up for NASCAR races Sunday, 1 o'clock at Dover on Fox Sports 1. PGA Tour golf, Scotty Scheffler wins once again at the RBC Heritage, posting a score of 19 under. Next up for PGA Tour folks, Zurich Classic of New Orleans, Thursday through Sunday. And Major League Baseball has not been very friendly lately to the Minnesota Twins. They fall yesterday 6-1. Their new record, 7-13 on the season.
Line drive to left field. This one's deep, going back. Martin onto the track, and that is off the wall, and it gets by Martin into left field. Rounding third and heading home is Green. He will score without a throw. Spencer Torkelson rips a double off the wall and left, and the Tigers take a 5-0 lead in the seventh.
Big win for the Tigers. Final score 6-1. New record for Detroit, 12-10. For the Twins, 7-13 on the season. Other finals for Major League Baseball yesterday. Miami won in Chicago 6-3. White Sox lose in Philly 8-2. Cleveland over visiting Oakland 6-2, and the Guardians are 16-6 on the season. Other finals, Baltimore blanks Kansas City on the road 5-0, and a doubleheader between Seattle and Colorado from Denver. Rockies win game 1 2-1 in extras, and Seattle dominates in game 2 10-2, the final there. Your American League standings, Yankees atop the East, Orioles in second, a half game back, followed by Boston, Toronto, and Tampa Bay. Out to the West, it's the Texas Rangers 12-11, followed by Seattle, the Los Angeles Angels, Oakland, and Houston. Rare team to be in the bottom of that division. They're 7-16. Less than desirable start for them. And lastly, AL Central standings. Cleveland, the top team, 3 games better than Kansas City, 4 games better than Detroit, and 8 games up on the Minnesota Twins that are in 4th place in the AL Central, only followed by the Chicago White Sox at 3-18. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, A's at Yankees just now getting underway on MLB Network. That's from New York. Brewers at Pirates, Tigers at Rays, White Sox at Twins. That is a 6:40 start time, 6 o'clock the pregame coverage right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Blue Jays at Royals, Diamondbacks at Cardinals, Padres at Rockies. Just a few of the other matchups across Major League Baseball. Let's get into your ReliaBank headlines of the day now. As always, for a better local banking option here in the 605 and beyond, ReliaBank.com or in person right here in Sioux Falls. The 17th ranked Augustana baseball team broke a program record yesterday with its 16th straight win, knocking off Concordia St. Paul 14-3 yesterday afternoon at Ronkin Field. It is the third consecutive weekend sweep for the Vikings. New record for them, 33-6, 24-4. The record within the Northern Sun. CSP falls to 21-18 and 13-17 overall. Augustana Viking baseball off to a tremendous start to the season, just a couple weeks remaining in the regular season. It's not just baseball there here in Sioux Falls for Augustana, though, because softball is having a tremendous year as well. NSIC regular season champions for the fourth consecutive regular season. The Augie softball team swept CSP on Sunday afternoon at Carlander Field. Augie has won 22 straight ball games, improves to 40-13, and they've lost just one game in conference play this year. They're 25-1 in the NSIC. Coming up next for Augustana Viking softball, a lot to look forward to, just a few weeks remaining in the regular season. South Dakota State baseball pushed a run across in the bottom of the eighth inning of game two to earn a split on Sunday in the doubleheader yesterday against St. Thomas in a 4-3 win at Irv Huther Field. South Dakota State moved to 17-20 overall, 9-8 in league play for the Tommies, 14-16, still 9-5 tops in the Summit League. Moving forward for Augustana baseball, they continue its season-long seven-game homestand with a non-conference game on Wednesday afternoon against Dakota Wesleyan. First pitch for that one is set for 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, last week we had two additions to tell you about, transfer and recruitment for USD Coyote women's basketball, and this week we lead it off with more news down from Vermilion. South Dakota women's basketball coach Kayla Carius has announced the addition of junior college transfer Madison Hillman. She'll have 3 years of eligibility remaining with the Yotes. She starred at NIAC out in Iowa, North Iowa Area Community College, also native of St. Ansgar, Iowa, averaged 13.6 points, 8 rebounds, and 2 blocks per game last year for the Trojans. 6'2" forward joins the program down in Vermilion. St. Thomas rallied from a 3-run deficit to hand South Dakota softball a 6-5 loss yesterday and finish off a sweep of a 3-game Summit League series at South Field. The Tommies chipped away at a 5-2 deficit, ultimately to win the game 6-5. South Dakota is now 19-28, 4-10 in Summit League play, and they'll have a weekend off before closing out the regular season at home against North Dakota State. That's coming up on May 3rd and May 4th. Masters champion Scotty Scheffler won the RBC Heritage yesterday, or actually this morning. I keep saying yesterday, this morning. And it was inevitable. Felt that way at the start of the week, too. Scheffler had a 5-shot lead with 3 holes to play in the rain-delayed tournament. Made a meaningless bogey on the final hole for a 3-under-68 and a 3-shot win over Sahith Theegala at Harbortown. He won for the fourth time in his last 5 starts and became the first player since Bernhard Langer back in 1985 to win the week after capturing the Masters green jacket. Got his second green jacket of his young career, second in the last 3 years for Scotty Scheffler just a week ago, and now gets the win in the tournament following down at Hilton Head Island. Next up for Scheffler is another prize. His wife is due with their first child next week. Still to come, 3 more majors, starting with the PGA Championship, which approaches in mid-May. The dates there, May 16th. Through the 19th. Let's round out your ReliaBank headlines of the day with some news from the basketball world. 4-star senior Justin Pippen, the son of Pro Basketball Hall of Famer Scottie Pippen, announced his commitment to Michigan on Friday. Pippen chose new coach Dusty May and the Wolverines over a final list that included the likes of Cal, Florida, Stanford, and Texas A&M. Pippen went on to tell ESPN, "I feel like the campus and the school, I wanted to be at a big school. They can help me reach my goal of making the NBA. Michigan was a late arrival into Pippen's recruitment, and shortly after May was hired, Juwan Howard's replacement in Ann Arbor, the Wolverines entered the mix, and now the son of Scottie Pippen, Justin Pippen, has committed to the Michigan Wolverine men's basketball program. A lot of eyes and a lot of ears were on sensational star Robbie Avila and where he would end up. He started Indiana State, one of the best years of Sycamore basketball in the last 50 years out in Indiana. And Indiana State star Robbie Avila, one of the biggest breakout players from this past season, is following Josh Schertz, the coach, and transferring to St. Louis. He announced on Saturday Avila entered the transfer portal earlier this month with a do not contact classification, generally an indication a player has made up his mind on where he's attending. I'll be committing to St. Louis University, Avila told the Field of 68 podcast. I'll be going there to play under Josh Schertz again. I trusted his path for me the last 2 years and to trust what he has planned for me the next few years. Robbie Avila, better known as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and many other incredible nicknames, will now be starring as a member of the Billiken program of St. Louis University. Those are your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. When we come back, over the weekend, we saw a couple of spring games take place down in Vermilion for USD and right here in Sioux Falls for Augustana. We'll be chatting and talking and chewing on it with Augustana football head coach Jerry Olszewski coming up next, talking Augie football, guys with a pro shot, and everything in between for Augustana football. That's coming up next on this Monday edition of Overtime.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Not football season just yet, but it certainly feels a little closer to home with the NFL draft approaching on Thursday through Saturday from Detroit. We also had a pair of spring games a couple of weekends ago for the University of Sioux Falls and South Dakota State. This past weekend on Saturday, fans down in Vermilion and fans right here in Sioux Falls treated to the USD South Dakota Coyote spring game and also the Augustana Vikings spring game, which featured a lot of highlights, including a big man fair catch punt return competition. I can't wait to talk about that and more with head coach and big-time friend of the program, Augie football head coach Jerry Olszewski, joins us now on the ESPN hotline. Coach, welcome back. I know we're in the middle of the offseason, but it probably felt pretty good to strap it up and have that spring game on Saturday, didn't it?
Thanks, Bert. Yeah, it sure did, and it's never offseason. We just finished up spring ball on Saturday. The week prior, that Saturday, we had gone down to Northwest Missouri State and scrimmaged a dual practice with a really good football team, you know, top 10 team. So we got a lot of work done this spring, which was really great. And now it's spring recruiting and get our guys stronger and ready for summer and get ready for the fall.
And we're very excited about it. And, of course, a big opportunity this past weekend for everyone to put some eyes and ears on that program that Sioux Falls calls home, the Augustana Viking football program. Let's talk about your team in a moment. I want to talk about our team first. That's the Green Bay Packers, best team in NFL history, by the way. Where do we go with the NFL draft coming up on Thursday? What is your gut feeling on what the Packers need and what they do in the draft, Coach?
Oh, man, I wish I had a great answer for you. I'm always looking at what we need to do defensively. I think our young wide receivers end up becoming really, really good football players. We'll see how many we can hang on to after this year. Jordan Love is becoming a difference maker like we thought. I think they should go maybe on a running back, just a younger guy that can fill that room. And then on the defensive side, I liked where they're at with thinking that we need a linebacker and another nickel type safety type guy that can play the field a little bit. That's where my gut's at. And a kicker, baby. We need a kicker that's going to pipe it every time.
We absolutely do. It would have sent us to the NFC Championship game if we had one of those, but I'm not bitter. I am bitter, though, about Aaron Jones. I got to get your take on that because I have just a few players that I really, really love, and Aaron Jones was that guy. I bought my son a jersey. I got the jersey hung up and autographed on the wall here in the studio. I love Aaron Jones. It broke my heart to see him not only leave, but leave to that team out in the Twin Cities. How do you feel about Jones's departure, and where are you at right now with your favorite Packer? Is it now Jordan Love, or is it somebody else?
Yeah, that's yet to be determined, my favorite Packer. We'll see where that all ends up. But I get it. It's a business, and I've had some great players that I've loved in the program that have left before. I understand Aaron's take on it and his thought process. You know, they're there to make money. It's how they make a living, and there's a shelf life to it. But he was my favorite Packer, to be honest with you. Yep. So I wish him really well. He's connected with CJ Ham. I've talked to CJ about it already, and he said, you know, he's just a real guy, and he's got a relationship there with him already. So I'm a little bit biased. At least he's with one of my own, so I know he's in good hands.
Hey, that's very well said. I'll try a little bit to root for Aaron Jones now that he's a member of the Minnesota Vikings. Talking Auggie football with head coach Jerry Olszewski here, hour number two on the Monday edition of the program. Spring ball, spring game, fun time of year. What stood out about Saturday, positives, negatives, and otherwise for your group?
Well, you know, again, because we had that scrimmage a week previous, this one was just an inner squad.
Yep.
So we did it more controlled situational. There was thud in the beginning of it so we could play some of our veterans. There was a couple things we just wanted to get on tape for fall. And then that second half was live scrimmage. You know, we're going to be a young football team in some spots. You know, we had eight starters returning last year, and now we have three. But it's the converse. On defense, we had three last year, and now we have eight. So, you know, we're going to be a good football team. Some of the names that aren't known yet by the fans showed up on Saturday. I think Austin Johnston at wide receiver is going to be a stud in our league. He's really an exceptional player, and that showed out. And then a bunch of other young guys, young O-linemen that are going to have to step up, and you know, tight ends that are developing, and some other guys that continue to grow in our program. Manny Strzok, a wide receiver here from O'Gorman High School, had a really good spring. There's a whole bunch of guys, Isaiah Huber, and then you go on the defensive side about some young guys that we're going to need for depth that stood out. That's all what spring's about. I personally love spring ball because there's so much coaching that goes into it, and you get to take those young players that you recruited a year ago that most of them end up being scout players for you all fall, and now you get to put them into our scheme. You get to see them, you know, activate themselves in the ways that you thought they would and portray it on the field. There's growing pains with that, but I thought we made great strides. And we had some injuries coming off the last year that had surgeries, and even a couple during spring ball that allowed even more younger players to take bigger steps by the reps they played.
It's obviously a ton of fun. I know a lot of people enjoyed the spring game, spring scrimmage, spring showcase, whatever you want to call it, this past Saturday here in Sioux Falls. Obviously, fun time of year. You talked a little bit about standouts and returners, so I'll kind of leave that alone for now. But I got to know this because there's a beautiful slow-motion video that Auggie Football put out on Twitter of the big man punt return. I got to know this, though, Coach, because you did one of your coaches or maybe a volunteer dirty at the end. He hits the deck and had to roll over in slow motion. Pretty darn tough, but I got to know, did you participate in that? And how many could you catch in a row if you were tasked with being one of those punt returners at a scrimmage like that?
Yeah, it's always fun, and it's how we've closed out our scrimmage every year since I've been here. The problem was there's about a 25-mile-an-hour wind, and when that ball got up, and our coaches didn't help us out. They were launching that thing about 55 yards. So when it caught the wind at the top of the stadium, it went to the east pretty hard. So that's why we had a lot of air balls. Last year, I think we caught 7 out of the 10. This year, I think we caught 3 out of 10. And, yeah, I put our defensive line coach out, Kelly Skolton. I put out our offensive line, Braden Kersley, and then I closed the session out, and I missed it badly.
Oh, man.
So I went to the fair catch mode on that one. But I did return in college, so I was not real proud of myself Saturday night, and I was not going to take a second rep at it.
Well, I appreciate the honesty. I'm surprised that you didn't get fit in to that video. Again, you can find that. We retweeted it on the ESPN Sioux Falls page on Twitter. Lastly, Coach, just want to talk. You mentioned the fun time of year, that individual time, and the opportunity to dive in to the core of the young players and fix some issues and address some things. Opportunity and competition. You talk about the total number of starters back. You guys are going to have a big opportunity for a ton of competition the rest of the way, aren't you?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we are. And that's what I'm excited about is, you know, we just had this talk this morning in one of the position groups. They're in their position meetings today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, about where you were and where you are now and where we need to get to. And that's just being real with young men and telling them, you know, here's your deficiencies, here's where you're really proficient in what you're doing, because we had a lot of productivity walk out of our meetings, right? We lost a lot of players that did a lot of great things for us. They'll always be Vikings, but the next generation has to step up, and these guys accept it as a challenge to lift up our program, but also lift up those guys that they're replacing. So they take pride in that, you know, and I've often said it here, we don't rebuild, we reload, and those next guys need to take a serious step in the fall in fall camp, so that when we open up at Marion September 5th, Thursday night, we're ready to go on all cylinders. And we're not there yet. You know, we got some growth yet to happen. We got some depth charts that got to be sorted out. And one thing I know about competition, it brings out the best in those that want it to, you know, and that's what I'm looking forward to this fall and this coming season.
Hey, we can't wait for it either. Augustana football again returns early September at UMary at South Dakota State. Home opener is Northern State on Saturday, September 21st. More info there. GoAuggie.com. It's NFL Draft Week, Coach. And, of course, you guys have had an opportunity and a lot of opportunities to send guys to the pros. Of course, notably C.J. Ham. We saw Eli Weber recently with a pro shot. Who are the guys that are preparing for that opportunity, whether it be with the NFL through the draft or undrafted free agency or also some other pro football leagues? Who are a few guys that come to mind that are kind of taking that step in their football careers for the program?
Yeah, absolutely. It is exciting. You know, you recruit great kids. You allow them to grow, and then they'll go do great things. We've had calls, as I was sharing with you off the air, I got four calls that I got to get back to just from this morning. Last few weeks have been very busy on phone calls from various organizations in the NFL and the CFL. Blake Larson, our offensive tackle, has had every team in the NFL reach out about him, had his pro day, and did well. So we'll see where that lands, whether that be, you know, through Sunday into or Saturday into Sunday for him and what that looks like. But a lot of interest there. Casey Bauman, our quarterback, has had six teams in the last 6 days reach out pretty heavily, and I like his chances of getting into a camp, whether that be, again, through the draft or free agency. Jared Epperson, running back, you know, if Jared was healthy for 4 years, he broke his foot last year, the season before last. Otherwise, he'd have broke the rushing record here. He's getting a lot of interest lately, and some of the Canadian League schools or teams, I should say, are pretty interested in him. And then in my dark horse, Devon Jones was the National Player of the Year in special teams, and there's a few teams that have gained interest with him. We'll see if anything comes of that on Sunday as well.
There's all sorts of great talent at Augie, and Devon Jones, of course, a fun follow this year. Back-to-back week setting a program record for punt return distance for a touchdown. Fun stuff. Coach, I can't wait to see the next chapter. Obviously, it's a fun time to piece the puzzle together year in and year out. Wish you the best this offseason, and I put offseason in quotes for you. Thanks so much for the time, as always, Coach. We'll do it again soon.
Appreciate you much, Bert. Go Pack, go.
Hey, can't wait for it. Augie football head coach Jerry Olszewski. Again, you can look at the schedule, season tickets, everything you need to know. A recap from last year, GoAugie.com. Follow along with the Augie football program on Twitter at AugieFB. Great coach as always. Great chat as always as we get it geared up for the NFL draft. And coming up soon on the show, we'll be talking with Thor Nystrom. Get his analysis on the Minnesota Vikings. Is he still standing pat on J.J. McCarthy as the preferred quarterback of the future for the purple and gold? Where will he go? We'll talk about that around 12:40 with Thor Nystrom. Immediately next, though, got to be a speedy edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly coming up on this Monday edition of Overtime.
It's so convenient. Go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's time for a speedy edition of The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. Don't even have time for the billboard. We got to get to Thor Nystrom, NFL draft analyst of Fantasy Pros, here momentarily. So now, on to the good news. Nelly Korda couldn't have imagined the incredible run she's put together this season while at home recovering from a blood clot that required surgery back in 2022. Quote, because obviously then I was just more scared for my health. Competing was kind of on the back seat. I was not thinking about competing at all, but all I think about is sad times and the health scares that I've gone through who made me who I am today. Fully healthy now, the LPGA star Korda is seemingly unstoppable. The world's number one player hasn't lost a tournament since January, and now she's a two-time major champion. Korda etched her name in the LPGA Tour record books on Sunday, winning her record-tying fifth straight tournament with a two-stroke victory in the Chevron Championship. Korda joins Nancy Lopez, 1978, and Annika Sorenstam back in 2004-2005 as the only players to win five consecutive LPGA events. Good stuff to lead off the work week. On to the bad news, another passing in regards to the sport of football. Roman Gabriel had big size and a big arm when he was drafted as the number two pick of the Rams back in 1962. Even while playing in an era of grinding it out on the ground, he still holds the Rams team record with 154 touchdown passes for a career. Gabriel was the first Filipino-American quarterback in the NFL and the league MVP in 1969. He passed away on Saturday at the age of 83. And now I'm not sure if this is bad news, ugly news, good news. It's all about perspective, so I'll let you decide. Jim Harbaugh returned to Michigan on Saturday to collect his championship rings and to make good on the promise to add some championship ink. Before Michigan's spring game, Harbaugh got a 15-0 tattoo under a block M on his right arm, commemorating the Wolverines' undefeated record on the way to the school's national title. Michigan cornerback and soon-to-be NFL cornerback Mike Sanrastil, whose 81-yard interception return in the fourth quarter sealed the Wolverines' championship win over Washington, posted videos of Harbaugh's tattoo on social media. "I'm impervious to pain," Harbaugh said while receiving the tattoo, then joked afterwards that he could, quote, "See why you get one tattoo. You might want to start adding to it. I loved it." Adding running back Donovan Edwards, Jim Harbaugh, man of his word. We'll be back in a moment talking more NFL, NFL draft, and much, much more on the way. Thor Nystrom, NFL draft analyst for Betting Pros, Fantasy Pros, and he is the bus driver and the CEO of the J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota hype train. He joins us next on this Monday edition of Overtime.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. We're rounding out the Monday edition of Overtime, the Monday edition of Draft Week, by talking with one of our favorites, NFL draft analyst for Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros, Thor Nystrom. I told you in the lead up, he's driving that hype bus for J.J. McCarthy to Minnesota, and it is officially Draft Week. One of the best guys that you can rely on for the ins and the outs and all the profiles, the comps, and everything you need to know about up to 500 NFL draft prospects joins us now on the ESPN hotline. That's Thor Nystrom. You can find him on Twitter at ThorKU, as in Kansas University. Thor, welcome back to the show. I know you're busy. Thanks for the time. How you doing?
Thanks for having me, Bert. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm so superb, man. I just got to play this for you. I saved this because I wanted to hear your reaction. What immediately comes to mind when you hear this? What do you got?
I didn't hear nothing.
You didn't hear that? Okay, well, it's the NFL draft chime. I thought it would feed to you, but the NFL draft chime. What comes to mind when you hear that?
It's a Pavlovian response when I hear that. I could be anywhere, and it's like when the ears just perk up, and I'm running to the dish where you put the dinner down. Is what's happening.
Hey, I feel the same way. I think I got to find a TV and kind of get as close as possible when I hear the NFL draft chime year in and year out. We made it to draft week. The Vikings are in the news, whether it's Adam Schefter or someone else. And you had a couple interesting clips this past week on a few shows that you joined as well. It's interesting to be a Vikings fan right now and definitely teeing it up for the future, 2024 and beyond. What are your immediate emotions and what do you expect to happen this week outside of the obvious drafting a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I do expect them to get their trade up. Obviously, that's not a fixed outcome. Nothing in this is a fixed outcome, but that's what they've been working towards now for the past couple months. They obviously need a willing partner on the other side. Humorously, Kevin O'Connell talked about that at a church speech that he gave that led to a Q&A, and someone asked about this, and it led to a back and forth about the trade-up possibility. It was very funny, and Kevin O'Connell plays to the crowd, and that was sort of funny. But I do expect them to be able to consummate that trade and get one of those top four quarterbacks. We'll just have to see the party that they're end up being able to do with. I think one of the factors with that they have to wait on is, I think New England on their side at number three, they are waiting to see which of the three quarterbacks is available to them. I think they have a preference, and if it goes one specific way, I think then they are amenable to the trade. If it goes a different way, they might not be, and they might just want to stay there and pick the guy. And so that would be them. And then if New England ends up staying, then the Vikings need to work out a trade with either Arizona or the Chargers. So, you know, it's sort of the three-dimensional chess thing. And then one thing that has cropped up here just in the past 48, 72 hours that is something to keep an eye on is a lot of smoke about potential penalties with the Falcons vis-a-vis tampering with Kirk Cousins. And there's this idea that the penalty will be levied before the draft. And there has been the possibility tossed out there that the penalty could be the swapping of Atlanta and Minnesota's first-round draft slots. That also needs to be monitored as far as the idea of the Vikings potentially trading up, because, of course, that would immediately give the Vikings more draft equity as far as that goes.
Thor, I know a lot of fans' concern about trading up for a quarterback, obviously, is the uncertainty. Is he going to be a Hall of Famer? Is he going to go on to lead us to the promised land? That's concern A, but concern B is always about, is it a good trade? Is it worth the cost? What do you think is the cost? I know it changes from pick three to pick four to pick five. What do you think is a realistic cost that we'll see the Vikings give up to get into the top five on draft night?
Yeah, I mean, from the slot there right now, if it's going to be for three, you have to give up. You know, the starting point for that is 11-23 and the first round pick next year. You know, the outside of, you know, because you have to get around what the trade for last year, you had the trade with Houston and Arizona. So you get around there once that is the baseline for that. And you're going to have to probably toss in a couple of ancillary picks later on. But that would be sort of the baseline. I've always advocated, you know, again, this is under the assumption that Atlanta stuff doesn't happen and you're starting from 11, that the Vikings, that they are, they instead focus on either Arizona or the Chargers and QB4, because then it presents the possibility of potentially protecting your first round pick next year if you're Minnesota, which could absolutely be a monster asset. Right now, Minnesota is tied with a couple other teams for number six on the Vegas odds boards when you look at next year, the win totals. In other words, a projected top 10 pick for next year. You don't want to get into a situation that Carolina did in last year when they traded up, threw all those assets in. And now, of course, their trade up for Bryce Young is looking disastrous. And that's how Chicago is in a position to get Caleb Williams. So and that speaks to what you were talking about at the top, Bert, about the sort of three-dimensional chess of you want to be able to go up and get your guy, but you don't want to leverage yourself on the other side by just tossing in all your future draft equity.
Talking with Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Pros, Betting Pros, here on the Monday edition of Overtime, ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. All Vikings fans appear to be pretty darn split between Sam Darnold, J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and maybe a few others you could put in there. Talk to us about J.J., though, because you've been high on him. We talked to you a couple months ago. You were high on him then. You're high on him now. And according to your big board, you have McCarthy as the third best player in the entire draft right now, third best quarterback behind Caleb and Jaden Daniels. What excites you the most about J.J. McCarthy? And if there were a chink in his armor or things that he could work on, where does he need work?
Yeah, it's been kind of a crazy experience the last couple months. When I talked to you then, J.J. McCarthy was my QB3 and number three overall on my board, and he remains so today. And you know, a couple months ago when I was saying that, I was a heretic. Now it's become more of the consensus take, so it's been kind of interesting.
You're a trendsetter.
But apparently. You know, it's been nice that some of the other guys got into his tape because it's all right there. You know, as far as that goes, you know, you want to talk about the traits. Athleticism, sixth fastest three cone at the NFL Combine, year, regardless of position, at 17 pounds heavier than his Michigan bio, which also checked the box of any size concerns that people had about him. The arm strength is super obvious on film. Also, when he's on the move, he retains that, but he proved that at the Combine as well. 61 mile per hour max velo throw, which was 1 mile per hour less than the record at that event, which Joe Milton tied. Joe Milton has an enormous arm, not a great quarterback prospect, but enormous arm. he tied Josh Allen's record for that. And J.J. McCarthy was 1 mile per hour less than that. McCarthy was number five in the nation last year in on-target rate. And then that accuracy and that on-target, the placement, everything like that. Like I said, he retains it on the move. Last year, he was 72% in change in the aggregate with his completion percentage against, by the way, by far the hardest strength of schedule of any of the top quarterbacks. Michigan played the 38th defensive strength on average. Of course, they went on to win the national title. For contextual, just as an example, Bo Nix and Oregon played the 80th defensive strength. But, well, McCarthy was 72% in change in the aggregate against that accuracy percentage, 71% in change on the move.
Wow.
So, again, doesn't really lose anything while he's moving. Reason for that, retains all of his mechanics while he's moving. Keeps the eyes up and downfield. Keeps the upper body cocked to throw at all times. Keeps the throwing platform under him. So he's always looking to throw. He's not looking to bail the pocket. That's what he's always doing. It's just cock the throw at all times. And he can get the ball out super duper quick. That's one of the things that makes his projection to the next level very interesting. Last year down the stretch while they were going to the national title, last 13 games of the season against a procession of murderers row defenses, only threw one interception over those 13 games. That included against Ohio State, Penn State, Iowa, Alabama, then that national title game. So you have all that different kind of stuff. And then the recruiting pedigree of the kid was a top recruit coming in, turned around the Michigan program. People forget about this. They were 2-4 this season before he got there, the COVID shortened season. Michigan was so bad, people wanted to fire Jim Harbaugh.
Yep.
Then J.J. McCarthy shows up in a recruiting class where J.J. McCarthy, he was the headliner of it. He helped Harbaugh recruit the rest of the recruiting class. That was the recruiting class that turned Michigan around. They go to three straight college football playoffs. Of course, they win the national title last year when J.J. McCarthy was a 20-year-old true junior. And now Jim Harbaugh, of course, is sitting NFL head coach, ardently believes that J.J. McCarthy is the best player in this draft. It's hard to argue with him. I don't have him quite that high. I do have him number three overall on my board. I think the projection makes a ton of sense. The way that he projects to the NFL, just so clear. Attacking over the middle of the field, probably the best thrower over the middle in this class, certainly was last year just by the numbers. The accuracy, just absolutely ludicrous. Certainly NFL-style system that he was with last year at Michigan. So I think that's a kid also that can go in and play very early in the NFL.
I could talk all day long with Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Pros, Betting Pros. Check out his big board, 500 prospect preview, including rankings from top to bottom, position QB1, position 1, rank 1 for Caleb Williams, all the way down to the 500th rated prospect. Thor, always great work. Before we let you go, last question here. Give me a prospect that you're way high on that's not J.J. McCarthy relative to other draft analysts, and give me a prospect that you think isn't a surefire top 10, top 15, first-round pick that many people say, yes, they are. Where you differ, two guys that come to mind that you overvalue and undervalue according to the mean?
I would say Kamani Vidal is a big-time sleeper. He may even go under non-drafted or going to go in the sixth round at best or maybe even seventh round, but a running back from Troy. I think he's really, really good. I compare him to Jalen Warren when he came out of Oklahoma State.
Yep.
I think you get very similar utility out of him at the next level. So people need to keep an eye on him. Fabulous pass blocker as well, in addition to the rest of it. He gets slept on in a big way. Couple guys that I'm way lower on than everybody else. Bo Nix for sure, but a guy who's rated even higher than that I'm very low on, Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys are talked about as potential first-round picks. I ranked them on my board, both those guys, as third-rounders.
Okay, it's interesting, and we're tuned up now for draft week, Thursday through Saturday from Detroit. Thor, I wish I could do it every day in the lead-up. I wish you all the best this draft week. I know you got to be busy. Thanks for the big board. I got it printed out. It'll be on my coffee table right next to me on draft night. Thanks for all you do. We'll do it again here soon on the show.
I love to hear that, Bert. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thor Nystrom of Fantasy Pros. Find him on Twitter and the great work at ThorKU there. Betting Pros, Fantasy Pros, a 500-player big board. Feels a little excessive. Not to nerds like me, it ain't. It feels like absolute heaven for draft day, Thursday through Saturday. We are overtime on overtime. We'll say so long. Back tomorrow, 11 to 1. Special thanks to Thor Nystrom for joining us as the conclusion of the Monday edition of the show. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 11 to 1. Still an opportunity this week, by the way, to win big. LFA MMA tickets up for grabs. I got how many tickets left? About 12 still available for the LFA MMA fights coming up Friday at the Pentagon. Stay tuned. More of overtime tomorrow at 11. Have a great day, Sioux Falls. Talk to you then on ESPN Sioux Falls.